Thank you and good afternoon. In local news today, the Illinois Pork Tour began yesterday. The Illinois Department of Agriculture is hosting 43 international buyers from June 3rd to the 6th in an effort to increase export sales for the Illinois pork industry. Industry tours, such as the Illinois Pork Tour, teach potential trade partners about the benefits of Illinois agriculture and reinforces the advantages of buying high-quality Illinois products. Since its inception, the tour has generated over $13 million in sales for participating Illinois agribusinesses. The Illinois pork industry has a tremendous export presence around the world, says Agriculture Director Raymond Poe. We export 25% of our pork to various places around the world. Through trade missions such as this, we hope to not only increase pork exports, but also agribusiness exports for the pork industry. The tour kicks off with participants meeting with representatives from Cedar Ridge and Redbud. The farm was established in 1954 by the late Fred and Betty Grohman. Their six sons now own and operate the farm, which is one of the nation's top sellers of purebred breeding stock. Their 2,000-head sow herd consists of purebred Landrys, Yorkshire, Hampshire, Duroc, and Berkshires. In the last 8 years, they have exported over 2,000 boars and 12,000 gilts across the world. The tour will also make stops at the GSI Group Incorporated, AP International, and Cumberland, Taylorville. AP International and Cumberland are two divisions of the GSI Group Incorporated that provide the livestock industry with high-quality products for their operations. AP International focuses on the swine and dairy industries with products that include various feeding equipment, environmental controls, feed storage and delivery, and more. Cumberland produces one of the most complete lines of commercial poultry systems worldwide. This includes climate control, feed storage and delivery, and more. University of Illinois College of ACES in Urbana-Champaign. In addition to the tour of the state's flagship university, tour participants will hear from Dr. Heinz Steen about the benefits of soy. Dr. Ted Ufix from Professional Swine Management, Carthage Vet Services, about health impacts on production in the U.S. and around the world, and Tom McMurrin, owner of Skylar Nutrition, about non-medicated, complete and balanced nutritional solutions to keep animals healthy. The Chicago Board of Trade in Chicago. The CME Group, an international marketplace enabling institutions and businesses to manage their financial risks and allocate their assets. Here, tour participants will meet with professional traders and floor brokers from Mann's Traders. Participants will experience the excitement of the opening of the CBOT and learn about trading floor activities. Amlin International in Vernon Hills. Amlin International is the animal health division of the Oil Dry Corporation. The Innovation Center is dedicated to the research and development of adding value to sorbent minerals for optimum animal health. On Thursday, the tour participants will depart for Des Moines, Iowa, site of the World Pork Expo. The World Pork Expo will expose the 43 international buyers to all aspects of the pork industry, from feed types to technology to research. The buyers come from various countries including China, Myanmar, Laos, Argentina, Brazil, Peru, Mexico, Ecuador, Dominican Republic, and Colombia. The Illinois Pork Tour is sponsored by Ag World International Corporation Incorporated, Abcam Incorporated, Advanced Genetic Exports, the Illinois Soybean Association, Illinois Pork Producers Association, and Iowa Corn Growers Association. The Illinois Wheat Tour pegged yield this year at 71.5 bushels per acre. It appears the streak of record wheat yields in Illinois could end at 2-in-a-row based on recent estimates of this year's crop. Participants of the Southern Illinois Wheat Tour this week estimate an average yield of 71.5 bushels per acre. The annual event was hosted by the Illinois Wheat Association. USDA last month projected an average yield of 73 bushels per acre statewide. If that range of estimates is realized, this year's wheat yield would fall just short of back-to-back state records of 74 bushels per acre in 2016 and 76 bushels last year. Our wheat, I think, is going to be pretty good, Gary Berg, a farmer from St. Elmo in Fayette County, said during the tour. But I kind of feel a little bad that we probably had the potential for the best wheat we ever had, but the dryness and extreme heat in May is going to knock us back. Ken Bonahoff, a wheat grower near Diet Rich in Effingham County, and retired USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service District conservationist, echoed Berg's sentiments about this year's crop. Mine looks really good, he said, during a tour stop in Shelby County. It's drier than normal. I'm hoping my no-till system kept the moisture in there. If this year's wheat yield averages above 70 bushels per acre, it'd mark the third year in a row and third time ever of eclipsing that mark. The state wheat yield record prior to 2016 was 67 bushels per acre, accomplished in 2006, 2013, and 2014. The crop looks really good. There's very little disease presence that's going to have an impact, said Dale Weimer of AgriMax Wheat Seed Company in Mascosh in St. Clair County. It's hard to find a field that's not invasively managed anymore. Weimer and Dave DeVore of Seymour Milling Company in Totopolis in Effingham County believe low disease pressure in this year's wheat crop was the result of increased management and fungicide applications in the hot, dry stretch in May. We've seen a little bit of scab damage, but nothing to be concerned about right now, DeVore said. We'll be taking a look at fields again in the next week to 10 days to make sure it hasn't gotten worse. The weather has a lot to do with it. To get scab, you need humid days and wet weather, he continued. And most farmers are spraying fungicide these days to control wheat diseases. But the hot, dry stretch prior to this week could also be responsible to burning up the top end of yield potential. It was one of the drier Mays we've had in a while and had some heat too, DeVore added, that maybe prevented some kernels from filling out to full potential. Time will tell, but I still think we're looking at a pretty good crop. Weimer estimates wheat harvest will begin in Clinton, Monroe, Perry, Randolph, St. Clair, and Washington counties around late June. The Illinois Forage Expo is coming up in just a few weeks. Don't miss this year's one-day event where you can see and learn pasture and forage production secrets from people who know about grazing and stored feeds. The program starts at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, June 27th at Perry and Carrie Hotz Farm in Waltonville, Illinois. It runs until 3 p.m. The day includes a quality hay and haylage contest, feed and equipment demonstrations of mowing, raking, tedding, baling, and wrapping, as well as industry and equipment exhibits on site. Expo also includes several educational program sessions in the morning and a pasture walk and farm tour in the afternoon. The expo is free to attend and food will be available on site. The Illinois Forage Expo event is sponsored by the Illinois Forage and Grassland Council, University of Illinois Extension, Wren Lake College, Jefferson County SWCD, and USDA National Resources Conservation Service. Find the Hotz Farm at 7062 North Cherryville Lane, Waltonville, Illinois, 62894. To learn more or to register as an exhibitor, visit www.illinoisforage.org or call Jared Godfrey at 618-578-1210. May was the warmest on record, but storm remnants provide spotty relief. Farmers and other Illinoisans are probably still trying to figure out what happened to spring after a dramatic shift in weather patterns the past 2 months. The heat wave in May, which featured high temperatures in the upper 90s, officially set a record for the month with an average statewide temperature of 70.6 degrees, a whopping 8 degrees above normal. It was the warmest May on record, said Jim Angel, state climatist with the Illinois State Water Survey. There's probably no surprise that as the temperature in many places was above average every day due to unrelenting warmth. It was unlike April, which pretty much every day was below normal, he noted. We had a big reversal on the temperature trend. April was the second coldest on record in Illinois with an average temperature of just 44.7 degrees. So the swing in the temperature average from April to May was 25.9 degrees. Precipitation in May averaged about 4 inches, which was close to normal. But rainfall certainly was not consistent throughout the state. It varied widely across the state, Angel said, in reference to rainfall amounts. Some of the northern counties got 6 to 10 inches, while some spots in central and southeast Illinois have been dry. A real game-changer late in the month was Tropical Storm Alberto. Remnants of the Gulf storm slammed parts of the state this week with heavy rainfall, including 4 to 6 inches near Peoria, and strong winds. Portions of the state subsequently experienced flash flooding, field ponding, and downed tree limbs, while others remain on the dry side. The forecast appears warm and dry this month, with rain chances possibly returning later in June. It looks like the heat will continue. All of the forecasts indicate an increased chance of above-normal temperatures for June, Angel said. Precipitation looks like a mixed bag. The Farm Show will be right back after these messages. In national news, agriculture groups are growing more concerned as trade partners respond to tariffs with threats of retaliation. The National Pork Producers Council is very concerned about the steel and aluminum tariffs placed on imports from Canada and Mexico. Both countries have already threatened retaliation. Those concerns arise as Mexico, a key pork export market, has already threatened to retaliate against pork imports. U.S. pork shipped $1.5 billion worth of product to Mexico and another $792 million to Canada, its fourth largest market. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstorm says it's unfortunate if U.S. pork exports to Mexico, which deliver tremendous benefits to both the U.S. supply chain and Mexican consumers, importers, and restaurants, no longer enjoy duty-free access to this critical market. It's especially frustrating to see U.S. pork caught up in a trade dispute that has absolutely nothing to do with the pork trade, Hallstorm says. The National Farmers Union says while they agree with President Trump's inclination to address unfair trading practices and reduce our trade deficit, provoking a global trade war with our closest allies hardly seems like a solution. NFU President Roger Johnson says these on-again, off-again tariffs will likely result in the opposite of their intended effect. Agriculture is always the first casualty in retaliatory tariffs. Tariffs have thrown another monkey wrench into NAFTA 2.0. The steel and aluminum tariffs imposed by President Trump threw another wrench into the North American Free Trade Agreement talks. Politico says that will further delay a final agreement between the three long-term trading partners. The action also revives the possibility that Trump will once again possibly follow through on his threat to withdraw from the pact. That's a move that will have serious economic consequences for all three economies. Trump recently told Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau that the U.S. will sign a fair deal or there will be no deal at all. Trudeau says the Trump administration has pressured him to accept a provision that would automatically terminate the agreement unless all three countries agreed to renew it. Trudeau refused to have his hand forced and canceled his plans to travel to Washington to finalize the deal if that was going to be the condition. The conservative group American Action Forum says the president thinks being tactically unpredictable is a fantastic approach. The group says he fails to realize that strategy only confuses people, damages important relationships, and the president shoots himself in the foot on the economy during a time when regulatory and tax reform is doing so well. Washington cattle producers, along with Farm Bureau, are discussing wolves. Last month, members of Washington's leading livestock producer organizations held a joint meeting. Leaders from the Cattle Producers of Washington, Washington Cattlemen's Association, and the Washington State Farm Bureau gathered to discuss the growing number of interactions with wolves, specifically depredations. Tom Davis, Director of Communications with the Farm Bureau, says all those in attendance agreed something needs to be done sooner rather than later. Davis says producers are not only losing calves from outright attacks,
but they're also finding that their cows, when they put them out to pasture, they're not getting the weight gain that they normally would because of the agitation, the fear that the wolf presence is creating within the cows. And they're also seeing a lower pregnancy rate, which also has an economic impact on these ranchers.
Davis says, while not perfect, most ranchers are doing the right thing, working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to implement non-lethal methods. But he says those efforts are not working as they used to.
What we're finding is wolves, you know, they're dogs, they're smart, and a method might work for a while, but then the animals get used to that and they no longer work. And the unfortunate thing is the department hasn't come up with additional methods for these ranchers to use. And like I say, some of them have been doing it for a decade now. And so we need more tools to help on the non-lethal side.
Davis says he would like to see WDFW transition to a model more like what has been implemented in Ferry and Stevenson's County, where local officials have the most control. That's all the time we have on the Afternoon Farm Show today. Have a great week. Reporting for WSMI, this has been Jamie Geisler.